Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, chills, 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 chills. Marks and Reese, we are back on Doug Peterson Appreciation Day. And the man on the call, the great Merrill Reese, joins us right now. Chills, Merrill Reese, how are you?
Wow. Was that really 4 years ago? Boy, it seems like it was just it seems like it was 6 months ago, but it's so fresh in my mind, honest to goodness.
Amazing. Memories of that day, before we talk about Doug, memories of that day, for some reason, it really felt like that the Eagles could beat the Patriots. Not a lot of people nationally agreed, but it just felt like they were rolling and they were just on a mission to try to win it.
You know, I felt that way. I felt that way all week. And then on Saturday, the day before the game, I was in the hotel lobby and somebody came up from behind me and lifted me off the ground. And I looked and I said, put me down. And it was LeGarrette Blount. And he took a look at my ring. And I wore the NFC Championship ring from 2004. He said, you know, that's a loser's ring. I said, well, it's the only ring I have. He said, we're going to get you a real ring tomorrow. And that's what he told me. We're getting you a real ring tomorrow. And when I saw him, he yelled across the locker room, Merrill, we promised you a ring, and now you're getting one. But everybody connected with the team went into that game believing that the Eagles' time had finally come, and they were right.
Yeah, I'm throwing my ring away as soon as I get home, Uncle Merrill. NFC Championship ring, yeah.
Well, you know what? That was the best one I ever had. But listen, I'll tell you something else. I wore that one every day.
Yes,
every day.
I know
this,
it. Yep.
This one I can't wear. I take this one out to three ceremonial occasions or a sponsor's dinner. This one kills my hand. It's like lifting weights. It's
yeah.
So big.
Yeah, you need an ice pack after you wear that thing.
You do.
Day, man. Yeah.
The week of the Super Bowl, we were there, obviously. What was Doug like that week? I know you had plenty of conversations with him leading up to the game. Did he have that confidence that week?
You know, the amazing thing about Doug Peterson is he never changed. Doug Peterson was the same way after a loss as he was after a win. And that week, I didn't see any extra tension, any crankiness. It was just Doug as usual, being a person, doing the press conferences that he had to do. He never seemed edgy. You know, it's a very funny thing that you brought up that play, because I was doing a commercial, a television commercial yesterday that involved that play. So the day before, on Tuesday, Monday, I went through that play on video about nine times. And the thing I noticed when I watched that play again and again and again, there's no sense of urgency. Nick simply went over to the sideline and said, Philly, Philly. Doug said, go for it. They went back. They lined up very calmly. There was nobody who flinched, nobody who had a false move.
Yeah.
And then as Nick shifted them around and ran down the line of scrimmage yelling, kill, kill, and lined up behind Lane Johnson, everybody was cool. The snap came back to Corey Clement. Now, Trey Burton didn't race around as if, oh, my gosh, I've got to get this thing off. He smoothly ran behind and took the flip from Corey. And, you know, other quarterbacks – at a time like that, I don't care if Foles is open. They're going to gun that ball. They've got to get it out of their hands. No, it was as if they were playing a catch on the sideline. He just lobbed the ball. Anybody in the stadium could have caught a ball through that softly. And Nick, instead of being desperate and clutching it to his chest, caught it with his hands as if it didn't matter. It was just such a sense of calm. And that was something that Doug gave to this team. He didn't overreact. There was never a nervous bone in his body. He just treated everybody the same way every single day. And that was such a big plus.
Mm. Well, there may not have been a nervous bone in his body, Uncle Merle, but we know for all of us Eagles fans, our entire body was filled with nerves that Sunday. Just talk to us about, you know, leading up to that game. And just listen, you're as big of an icon in this town as any athlete that's ever played in this town, if not bigger, as you've witnessed the great ones come through here. That was the most coveted trophy this city wanted. I'm sure that had to mean a lot to you. And leading up to that game, I'm wondering, were you nervous? And did you do anything to sort of prepare for the moment if it turned out in the Eagles' favor? And did you have something that you thought you would say if things didn't turn out in the Eagles' favor at the end of the game?
You know, there was an article written that week by Paul Domlich, where he interviewed me, and it actually made the front page of both the Inquirer and the Daily News. And that was a question that Paul asked me. If this happens, are you going to prepare? Are you preparing anything where you can have a few lines written down so that you don't have to hunt and peck, that it's a historic call, that it's perfect? And I said to him, no. I said, and there are people who do that they write down those three lines because they know they're going to be replayed forever. And I said, if that happens, I really want to just react. That's what I want. I just want to react as naturally, whatever comes to my mind. And now, if there's a little bit of history there, in that Angelo for years has had me on the morning show, and he's always said to me, you know, I want the Eagles to win a Super Bowl for you. I want that. That's something you've never had in your career, and I want to make it complete. I want them to win a Super Bowl for you. And I say this, and I'm not being disingenuous. I say, you know, if they don't ever win a Super Bowl in my career, that's okay, because I've had miracles of the Meadowlands. I've been to Super Bowls. I've had the Sean Jackson punt return, the Jaworski the quick, 99 yards, some of the great sacks they've ever seen by Ike Reese.
Great
moments. I said, but I wanted for the fans, because these people spend their last dollar at Christmas time to get their kids Eagles jerseys. Mm-hmm. And there are people who take out second mortgages to be able to buy season tickets.
Yep.
They're the ones who go out there, and they sit out there in the rain, the sleet. They sit out there in 3-13 seasons as well as 13-3 seasons. Yep. They're the ones who deserve it. So when that moment occurred, and I saw, I'm nervous before every game. Every game, I'm a nervous wreck. From the time I wake up in the morning, I can't eat before, once I get to the stadium. You may see me sit in the dining area for a while, but you'll notice there is never any food near me because I can't even look at food. Cindy fills me up with a stack of pancakes before I leave the house, and that's it until after the game. And I'm nervous every week anyhow. So the nervousness, I mean, how nervous can you be? And I'm nervous enough. So I prepared the way I prepare for every game. I prepare for a preseason game or a Super Bowl the same way. I do everything I possibly can to be totally prepared. And now there were things that one of the things that made me nervous was before the last play of the game. You remember the last play well, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was set up.
Now, here's why I'm nervous. I'm not nervous about Brady making that throw, because Aaron Rodgers is the master of the Hail Mary.
Right.
I'm thinking, I don't think Brady has the arm to put it up there high enough to complete it anyhow. Plus, they're 8 points up, not seven. But the other thing is, I'm nervous because we are seated in the far corner of the end zone. So we are 110 yards away from where that ball is going to end up. And I don't want to be known as the broadcaster who blew the last call of the Super Bowl. That's why I was nervous. I was nervous about my job. And then he stumbled forward, and then he put it up there. And I could it almost slowed down for me, and I saw it batted around, and then I watched it as it trickled to the ground, and then I immediately, as I said, incomplete, I immediately looked up at the clock and saw zeros, and then I said, the pass is incomplete, the game is over, the Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. And then the first thing I thought of was, Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. And I know how the fans felt, and I said, let the celebration begin. But it was that was straight from the heart.
That's awesome. And I don't even need to reset the interview. Everybody knows that voice. It's Merrill Reese joining us on Doug Peterson Appreciation Day. Merrill, you being through the years with all the different coaches, I'm sure your relationship with each coach, probably with Andy, him being around for a long time, you had a great relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Chip maybe not as good, but Doug.
Well, how about Chip? None at all.
No, I know. Doug, doing your job, what was it like with Doug, and what was your relationship like?
Oh, it was the best. It was the best, because as much as I liked Andy, and as much as I liked Dick, because Dick Vermeil remains a friend to this day. He's such a special person, such a special coach. But in those days, that was early in my career, and Dick was so intense. There was no time to sit around and talk golf with Dick or anything like that. But Doug was so easy to be around. And Doug gave me a little special private time during the week where I could sit down with him and I could say to him, Doug, is there anything I should be aware of this week? Do you have anything in that I should be looking out for? And he knew me, and he trusted me. See, don't forget, when Doug came here as head coach, I had already known Doug for 19 years.
Sure.
So I had a relationship with Doug. So he would say to me, okay, this week we have a pass in where Hightower is going to take a screen and then back up and look downfield, which he did in the Washington game. And the minute the pass was fired out to Hightower, I was ready for him to throw the pass. And I knew the different things that might be that you'd like to be able to prepare to describe. So I had a little rehearsal during the week where Doug would be able to give me a tip and give me a heads up. And also, I had more back and forth with Doug. I would never second guess Andy when we spoke, but I could sit there with Doug and I could say, why did you do that? I would never have, and he'd explain patiently to me why he did it. There was you could speak with Doug the way you could speak with one of your really close friends. That's the kind of relationship we had, and a lot of people had with Doug Peterson.
Yeah, he came off as just a very genuinely good guy, and I
he
think
really
that's
is.
You know, one of the reasons why he when he was let go, it just it people didn't like it because they felt like not only just the Super Bowl stuff, but just he was overall a good guy, and there was a lot going on that was just more than Doug Peterson.
Well, when the season ended, and he and Howie had that final press conference, media conference, which was, of course, Zoom, that all of us knew and we all saw. I don't think there was any thought in anybody's mind that Doug was departing. And I don't think there was any thought on the part of the Eagles at that point that Doug was done. I think that happened later in the week as there were certain issues, whether they be staff hirings or whether they be what happens with the big quarterback question, which remains, and the philosophy going forward that created the end of Doug Peterson as the Eagles head coach. But that Monday, a week before the ending, I don't think that was on the docket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Merrill, appreciate it. Appreciate you giving us a few minutes as always.
Yep.
And listen, we'll talk to you soon. Be well.
Hey, always great to speak with you guys. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Merrill.
All right, Uncle Merrill.
There he is.
The great Merrill Reese.
Yes. Yeah, let me sit back and just listen to those pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to them talk.
One thing that doesn't get talked about a lot or we haven't went over enough from the presser last week with Howie and Doug or whenever that was 2 weeks ago. I can't even remember now.
2 weeks in. The Howie and Doug was 2 weeks ago Monday,
because that
right?
was right after the season.
Right. So,
yeah, what was the rush of doing that?
I think Howie had said that they felt like that they needed to come out and they needed to address the fan base. I think he said it in the press conference that it was important to the organization to come out and actually make sure the fans knew that they weren't ducking them.
Yeah, but you know what? Your old Doug out there and he's answering questions about the future without even – they haven't even talked about his future yet.
Nope.
He's having – communication is a big issue down there. Mm-hmm. These guys don't directly communicate with each other or what. But it just seemed like at times this year, communication was being done through the media. Like, I'll never forget when Doug was sitting there talking. I'm like, okay, is he making a plea to us or to the organization? And it was almost as if he was talking to the organization as to what his vision was moving forward. Like, that's something you're supposed to discuss behind closed doors. He was having that conversation with us.
At a press conference.
Yes.
I remember. Yeah, it was like he was making his case why he should keep his job.
Yes.
After he was saying why he's confident he's going to keep his job, and then he, like, started making his case.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. It's a good point that you bring up. But if you remember, now the story that came out was that Howie Roseman wanted to keep Doug, and Jeffrey Lurie was the catalyst of, no, I don't think this is going to work. And Howie and Don Smolinski, according to the, I guess this was McLean, right? According to the report.
Can I just say this?
Yeah.
None of these reports ever make Howie look bad.
So what are you saying?
I'm just saying, man. Doug's, I mean, Howie's a support of
everybody. Yeah,
he's a support of Josh McDaniels.
He's not a normal human being.
I'm just saying. None of these reports ever paint Howie in a bad light. This pick was the coaches.
This was Jeff.
We even got Jeffrey Lurie picking players now.
Yeah. I believe we shared similar views the day after the whole Jeffrey Lurie drafted our thing alongside. But, I mean, but it does make sense in that if Howie has designs on getting rid of Doug Peterson, he's not going out there with him and doing that press conference. Howie didn't know that he was going to be gone. I think Howie thought he was safe.
Yeah.
And then Lurie was the one that said, no, this can't continue.
Right.
I mean, that would make sense.
Well, I mean, yeah, because Howie probably didn't know if his job was safe.
No, probably not.
Right? So, in which Howie probably is more willing to go along with things as they were.
Clearly. Yeah, he's not rocking the boat.
Whereas Doug wanted some changes.
Yep. Our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're looking to get engaged, maybe you need wedding bands after popping the question. Mark's Jewelers should be your first and last stop. Online, marks-jewelers.com. And it's Doug Peterson Appreciation Day, so a lot of people are already commenting on this, Ike. Yes. What is the best Doug Peterson drop that we have? What is your favorite?
I don't know what my favorite is.
I have a lot of them.
Which one gets the biggest laugh out of me?
Or I don't care.
Or makes me want to cry.
People like the I don't care when Jack drops it when somebody's rambling about.
Well, that's the one where you know you can place that just about anywhere.
It can be used during the show going forward, yes.
Yes.
People like this.
Ooh, boy.
I'm seeing a lot of that.
Yeah.
This I don't care.
Of course.
That's a great idea.
That's maybe the best one out there.
That's a great idea.
And where's the one where please keep.
Please don't put words in my mouth or we're going to have a problem.
That makes me laugh the most.
Yeah. That may be one of my favorites. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that was. Now, what was that after?
That was after.
There's so many incidents.
It was after the Seattle or before the Seattle game when he wouldn't commit to a starter.
Okay.
Like when he wouldn't, he was acting weird about whether or not he's going to start on Monday.
Right.
It came out of nowhere, and then that was after a Rob Motti lifeline of like, hey Doug, you didn't. That pause is going to cause some issues with some people in this town, and Doug got all defensive and was like,
"Please don't put words in my mouth, or we're going to have a problem."
Okay.
Yeah, it was our
now
fault.
Now it's all coming back to me. Yeah. Yes,
this whole season was a bit of a blur with most of the Doug thing.
Well, it's almost like it was three seasons in one.
Oh my goodness! So these last couple of years have been excruciating.
My goodness!
But and this is my favorite. I know that people aren't mentioning it.
Yes.
It's a good one. My problem with it is it's like a second too long, which I might have to cut it down.
No, you don't touch it. No, I mean, but that's gonna go out of it. That's gonna go out of the rotation. Some of these will stay. Mm. Right, the I don't care will stay.
I don't care.
Right.
That's a great idea.
That's a great one. All right, let's talk to Andy in Deptford. Andy, go ahead. How you doing, buddy?
Yo, guys. How we doing?
Andy, how are you?
What's up, Andy?
Andy, did you get vaccinated?
Well, you know what? At my job, they offer it. So I'm just kind of waiting on that. So
okay.
We'll see what happens.
All right. I thought of you because I was reading some stuff, and I'm like, all right, you know what? Andy probably is eligible for that. So, all right.
Yeah.
Thought I'd ask.
Yeah, they do give it to us at my job, though.
Cool.
But with this whole Doug thing, I mean, I think as Eagles fans, Eagle Nation, we're always going to be indebted to Doug with that Super Bowl. But let's not act like he blew out the Patriots or shut them down. I mean, that was a dogfight that game. I think the players on the field were more credited for the win than the coach. I mean, you know, people were making Doug like a martyr. I mean, let's not forget, you know, he lost the locker room. Let's not forget all those stupid decisions he made on fourth down going for it. I can't just forget all that. I mean, the guy got fired, right?
Yeah,
he did.
I mean, we gave Andy Reid Appreciation Day, which was definitely deserved. Andy Reid changed the culture of a city, of a franchise. Mm. He made us contenders.
Yep.
Doug Peterson, look where he left us, man. He didn't leave us in a good place.
Well, hold on. This isn't Doug's fault.
Well, it's not. If he didn't lose the locker room, if he didn't have accountability, we'd probably be winning more games. I mean, we act like Doug was like.
It's
John
part of
Madden.
It, Andy. Listen. It's part of it. But I feel like that you can separate the two, right? Like we know what happened
on,
with
Andy.
Doug late.
You trying to tell me a Super Bowl is supposed to mean everything to you, and that this is the guy who is the head coach of the team that has won the only Super Bowl here? You can't muster up enough appreciation for Doug Peterson on his day?
Well, that's how I started. The first thing I said, I'm always going to be indebted to him for that Super Bowl. But let's not act like he blew out the Patriots. Like, they barely won that game. I mean, it wasn't like he
– Well, it wasn't his fault. Yeah, I mean, it was Jim Schwartz's fault.
Right.
I feel you, but – You know, I can't discredit the full body of Doug Peterson. Of course, I'm always going to be loyal for that Super Bowl. But I'm not sitting here having flashbacks. I want Nick Foles back in town, too. I mean, I just got to call it how I see it. Doug lost the locker room. His play calling sucked. He's an offensive-minded coach that couldn't get more than 30 points in games this season. It's time for him. And you know what? Around the NFL, they probably feel the same way because nobody's knocking down doors to get Doug in there.
No, didn't. Thank you, Andy. Didn't even get an interview as a head coach.
Leave it to Andy to call on Doug Appreciation Day and rain on everybody's parade.
And to keep it real and totally
leave it
bring
to Andy
people
and
down.
Keep it real.
I mean, the statement's nonsensical, though. I mean, they scored 41 points.
Right.
He wasn't coaching the defense.
Ike responded back to it. You could say that if people are like, Jim Schwartz was the biggest reason
right.
why they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, hold on,
no.
The defense sucked.
Right. Yeah, the offense didn't suck that day.
No, and he tried to give – and he gave credit to the players, which, of course, the players agree. But Doug also made – the buttons that he pushed during that run were the right buttons.
Hey, man, how about the
the fourth down.
How about the walkthrough, running the fake plays.
Yep.
And the walkthrough.
If Andy did that in 04, you guys might have won a Super Bowl.
Damn right.
I had that thought, too.
Now they're going to hire a guy that has got called cheating filming walkthroughs. Awesome. Right. I hope not. All right. Get back into your phone calls on the other side. Let's wrap it up, people. It's Doug Peterson Appreciation Day, 215-592-9494. Coming up next, updated Eagles coaching search odds. And the other day, Josh McDaniels was the overwhelming favorite. We'll see where it is right now. Also, an Eagles assistant coach. Their Eagles are blocking him from a new job. We'll tell you about that coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94WIP. Don't go anywhere. Doug Appreciation Day. Hey, listen, let's talk about betting for a second. We just talked about betting. How about betting with BetMGM? New year, new sportsbook. So get to know BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, by winning $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on Philadelphia and your team wins. Just sign up. Use bonus code MARKS100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Then bet with confidence all year long with BetMGM's innovative parlay selection features, their boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app today, or you can go to BetMGM.com. Use bonus code MARKS, M-A-R-K-S, MARKS100, to win $100 when you wager $1 on Philadelphia and your team wins. This year, enjoy your favorite sports more than ever. Sign up with BetMGM today.